This is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, episode 33. Well, good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcast is exactly what it says it is. It's a show for people that like fantasy books and people that like authors of fantasy books and people that work in the industry of fantasy books. We cover everything. It's epic fantasy. It's urban fantasy. It's swords and sorcery. It's whatever you're looking for. We want to bring it to you here, and we're excited to do that on each episode. This particular week for me, I'm actually working on digging into plotting out the sequel to Huntress Initiate. It's a wonderful book. The second book will be in the series dealing with the main character's continued adventures. I love that character, Quinn, and the cool VR gaming connection that this whole urban fantasy series carries with it. I think you're going to enjoy it. As I said earlier in past episodes, it's due to come out sometime this fall. And it's going to be just a lot of fun. And so I'm looking forward to exploring more with this character. You know, people actually ask me a lot whether I run out of ideas for what's going to happen in the next story in a series. And I think they're surprised when I tell them no. It's because I believe there are just story ideas everywhere. They're happening all the time in real time, right in front of our eyes. All it takes is for us to add a little twist that fits into the fantasy story genre. Also, I'm excited to announce that I have a free audiobook. That's right. You can get a free audiobook over on my site, which is where I'm selling my own audiobooks now. If you're an audiobook listener and you're interested in trying out the first of my Extreme Medical Services book, you can visit jamiedavisbooks.com/audiobook. That'll take you right over to my Authors Direct audiobook page. And you can pick up Extreme Medical Services. It should be set to free at the time this podcast releases. If it isn't, email me and I'll get you the code to get it for free. But it should actually be able to pick it up for free. Just click on it and go to your cart and you'll be zero for checkout. And that's what we want. Make it easy for you. But check it out. And it's a great way to check out that whole series, as a matter of fact. And the rest of the books are in that series in audiobook as well that you can continue on and check out. As always, if you're interested in more information on what I'm up to, you can check out my fan group over on Facebook, Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers, and on my website and blog at jamiedavisbooks.com. Okay, let's shift gears and talk about our special guest for this episode. James Wally is a writer of surreal and funny fiction. He's currently working on a book, which is book 3 of his Wink trilogy, which is a truly unique book experience. All those books are. There are also a couple of random short stories sprinkled around out there right now for good measure. His unique approach to both fantasy storytelling and the humor in his books really make all of the things he writes just super fun reads. So check out my interview with James coming right up. James, welcome to the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. It's great to have you here on the show today.
Hi there. Thanks for inviting me. Nice to be here.
So why don't you introduce yourself to the audience? I'm sure some folks probably know who you are, but there might be a few out there who haven't read your stuff. So why don't you give us a little snapshot of who you are?
Oh, right. Well, my name's James Wally. I hail from the United Kingdom, Britain, England. And I write bizarre, surreal, funny fiction in the vein of Terry Pratchett, Douglas Adams, Robert Rankin, that sort of thing. I've been doing so for about 5 years now.
It's definitely interesting stuff. I just started reading it recently, just kind of get into the book a little bit so I'd be able to chat with you intelligently on the show. And it's just a lot of fun. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it.
Well, that's it. That's very nice to hear. That's what I was going for. So I'm glad you're enjoying it.
So why don't you give us the premise of the 41st Wink?
It's kind of, I've heard it described as, Alice in Wonderland on steroids. So, I think that's kind of accurate. It's basically some, poor guy who wakes up, inside his own dream space, and he has to try and find his way out. Obviously, as you can imagine, the sort of things that populate your dreams and nightmares might be simultaneously something you would really want to see and also not at all want to see. So there's quite a range there.
And the cast of characters he comes in contact with are quite interesting. Is this an insight into what's inside your head?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I've always been fascinated with dreams. And obviously, this sort of subject matter, you can really get away with going all out and just really letting your imagination off the hook, really, and just letting it go.
It definitely reads that way. I'll say that much. You never quite know what's going to come up next. I think you're giving Lewis Carroll a run for the money.
Well, that's high praise indeed.
I think that it's apropos to link it back to something similar to Alice in Wonderland and Through the Looking Glass and stuff like that, because it is that sort of, like you said in the beginning, surreal fantasy story, and it really lends itself to that type of genre.
Yeah, very much so, and it's a nice sort of canvas to plonk a sort of fish out of water story and just putting everyman in there just to sort of make sense of something that you can't make sense of.
And Marty is just kind of, at least in the beginning, he's just kind of wandering through, just kind of not even really paying attention.
Yeah. Again, I mean, I'm drawing on my own experience here. The guy is kind of lost in his own life, and as you can imagine, if you're lost in reality, you're going to be even more lost in unreality, as it were. So, yeah, he's kind of slow on the uptake, but I like to think that he gets there in the end.
Excellent. Now, when did you start writing? I mean, was this something you'd always kind of envisioned seeing for yourself, or? Were you, did you stumble upon it later in life?
I've always wanted to give it a try. It's one of those things where you'd like to sort of get into it and then it sort of takes over, really. So I started writing Wink, the first one, in mid to late 2013, and really didn't know where. I just really wanted to just give it a try and see if I could get a book out. By sort of early 2014, when it was finished, I started to get interest from publishers. So it sort of flew on its own, really. I was very lucky in that regard.
That's great, really. I mean, that doesn't happen that often, but good for you.
Yeah, I heard all sorts of horror stories when I was sort of getting to the end of the book about, you know, sort of a myriad of rejections and sticking with it. But no, I was very lucky.
Now, when you write and when you wrote this, did you kind of sit down with like a real solid outline of what you wanted to do, or did you kind of let your imagination go and see what popped up when the next corner was turned?
I'm very much a dyed-in-the-wool pantser. I tend to sort of see where the story takes me as opposed to planning. It's not always a good idea, and I am reforming somewhat with the third entry in the trilogy that I'm writing at the moment, and I am having to storyboard somewhat with this one. But no, with the first one, it was very much a sort of let's see where this goes sort of situation.
It's interesting. I've talked to people on the show here that are solid plotters. You know, they plot everything out and they have a very detailed outline. I talked to somebody that had a 25,000 word outline. I mean, that's a freaking book.
that's commitment.
Yeah, right. Now I think the book itself ended up being like 120,000 words. So it was still smaller than the end product, but significant. And then you have the people on the other side, like yourself and like me as well, for the most part, that are pantsers. But when I talk to them about the progression of their writing style, it seems like everybody starts to move more towards the middle. The plotters plot a little less and the pantsers pants a little less, and everybody kind of drifts towards the equilibrium, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a sort of happy medium sort of thing. I mean, I don't know about it for yourself, but when I first started, it's not something you can read a manual for, is it? You just sort of you're sort of fumbling your way through when you're writing your first work, and I guess you sort of fine tune it from there. So there's elements of plotting that comes in much more so now than there was before.
And I think for pantsers, often the story has been rattling around in their head for a period of time, so they've actually plotted it out, just not on paper.
Yeah, absolutely. I like to look at it as a stage by stage process. I had an idea of certain elements of the story and where I wanted them to go. How I got there is a different matter altogether. It was a sort of I want to get to A, B, C, and D. I'm not sure how I'm going to get there or what's going to happen between there, but that was the framework that I had for the first one.
Now, book two is out as well in the series, the Wink Trilogy, and it's Fathom Flies Again.
That's right, yeah.
He's back into his dream, I guess.
Quite the opposite, in fact. I'm sort of dallying in the realms of spoilers here, but having come back to reality and at the end of the first book, the various denizens of the dream world follow him out and lay waste to a small town, and it's a case of a few people and a few tiny pirates trying to save the world, basically.
Oh, that's great. Kind of like a Jumanji kind of scenario.
Very much so. That's a good analogy. I hadn't thought of that, actually.
That's great. No, that sounds like a lot of fun. Well, see, now I got to keep reading. Definitely. what's on the works? I mean, you said you're working on book three at this time?
I am. I am 90% done on book three, but as you said before, the planning aspect is taking over taking a much more important role now. So I'm nearly finished with it, but then I've got to do some more passes on it, tidy it up. With it being the third part of the trilogy, obviously you've got to tie up loose ends and make sure everything is polished and all questions answered. So that's my focus at the moment.
Yeah, I feel like when you write the first book in a series, whether it's a trilogy or a longer series, it's kind of like the Wild West. You just, you can go anywhere you want. There's the sky's the limit. there's nothing that's really out of bounds because you've got plenty of time to wrap it up. But when you're in that last book, when you've decided this is it, there's just often so many things you have to make sure you'd lock down so that you don't leave readers going, but what about?
Yeah. And as you say, I mean, with the first book, I wrote that as almost a self-contained story. You could read that as its own story, and I hope you do read the other ones, but you could leave it at that. You could just leave it as the first one. When I went on to the second one, I kind of made a bit of work for myself because I thought, well, why not end on a cliffhanger? So book two ends on a rather major cliffhanger, which means I have to write the third book now.
Yeah, you'll get the angry emails if you don't.
And I need to do it justice as well. That's very important. So it's got to be right. And I don't really just want to sort of pay it lip service and just sort of tie it up. Although I possibly could get away with ending it with "and it was all a dream," because it technically is.
That's true. I hadn't thought about that, but you're absolutely right. I don't know if you guys have know the show Saint Elsewhere. It's a famous TV show from the early 80s, late 70s here in the U.S. ran for like 8 years. And at the end, the whole series was actually a dream from an autistic child staring into a snow globe.
That's if you've been watching it for that length of time, that's got to be a cop out from under your moment.
It's famous for the fact that it's a cop out. So, I mean, it's like a joke. People are like, how are they going to end up the series? Oh, it's going to be in the snow globe. And,
Yeah. I'll perhaps steer away from doing that in that case.
Well, but, you make a good point because you want to do the project service. You want to, you've invested your time and energy, blood, sweat, and tears, as it were, into these characters and this story. And it brings us back to the fact that writing is an art and it is a passion project. Even if you're doing this as a business, even if you're looking at this as a career, it is a passion project.
Absolutely, and if you spend enough time with these characters and these environments that you've created, you become invested in them yourself. You want to do them justice, and you want to make sure that what you're putting out there is worthy of, you know, the what you've got inside your head, I guess.
Yeah, and if you lose that's sometimes I think where writer's block comes in. You know, people that have kind of lost their passion for the story, it kind of dampens their creative drive, I think, in some ways.
Yeah, definitely. I've had instances with that. I tend to sort of step away a little bit. I'm a dabble in short story writing. I've got a few out there as well. But that's a nice thing, sort of palate cleanser, just to sort of maybe sort of come at it fresh after having written something slightly different.
What are your short stories like? Are they written in the same world, or are they just completely separate to kind of give yourself a different look at things?
They have subtle, I suppose you could call them Easter eggs that sort of harken back to the Wink trilogy. Yeah, there's certain locations, certain things that are mentioned that anyone who was reading the trilogy and then happened to read the stories might sort of get a trigger in the back of their mind and that says, oh yeah, that's from there, or that's from there. I like to sort of put a little network in there just for my own amusement more than anything else, but also it's nice to sort of link things like that, I guess.
Now, do you release those as like part of anthologies that with other authors, or are they things that people can get them individually somehow?
They're in anthologies at the moment, yeah. I've got one actually coming out next month, I believe, which is it's slightly different to what I've normally been writing. There's still that element of sort of whimsical nonsense in there, but it's a little bit more melancholic, slightly different sort of path to the ones I would normally go.
And I saw a book that's listed, the Wishes series. Is that an anthology?
That's an anthology.
Okay.
That's got one of the that's one of the longest short stories I've written. It's close to 10,000 words.
Wow.
That one. It's a bit of a larger short story, but that's that was a huge amount of fun to write that one.
Yeah, it looks like was a collection of stories about wishes and genies and stuff like that.
Just different. What happens if you wish for something, and it's just sort of be careful what you wish for sort of premise. The story I have in that one is called Santa Claus Wants You Dead.
Now I want to read that too.
There's a mix up on Santa's naughty list, and it's a little known fact that every year at Christmas time, the naughtiest kid in the world has to be offed by Santa Claus. So the wrong kid gets picked by Santa Claus.
That's horrifying.
It is horrifying. You've got a sort of festive Terminator style story going on there, which is, as I say, a huge amount of fun to write.
That's just hilarious. I love the premise of that. I mean, you know, I can just see the kid standing there going like, what, no coal?
Oh, he wishes he only got coal, this guy.
That's great. And you know, I mean, it's funny where our ideas come from, because you're especially with your stories, they're so different and so, you know, eclectic and things coming from all different directions into the story. But you know, that's one of the things I enjoy about writing, is that you can go in different directions. I actually working on a, you know, super top secret project that I got with another author. We saw a Facebook post, and both of us commented about the same exact quirky thing about the Facebook meme, and we both like immediately messaged each other to say we could write like a goofy series about this.
It's great when something like that happens and you get that sort of inspiration. And as you say, you know, it's a blank canvas, so you can go wherever you want with that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. It'll probably go nowhere. I mean, I'll write it because I write stuff that I want to write, and hopefully it gets picked up and people enjoy it. But, you know, like I said, it comes back to that passion part of the art. But hopefully somebody enjoys it. It's going to be my first foray into true humor. I always have some humorous bits in my stories, but this is going to be just pure fun.
Well, anything like that, it gets my attention. I thought when I first sort of got into writing seriously, I felt from day one there isn't really enough really good humor fiction out there, and I'd love to see more. That's my bread and butter. I really love that sort of stuff.
Well, I'll make sure I get you on the beta list and send it to you for some input.
Please do. Yeah, that sounds great.
So what do you do? I mean, just, you said you, when you need a break, you write some short fiction, you write short stories and things like that. What else do you do when you need to step away from the writing to kind of recharge the batteries?
I consume movies at a frightening number of rates. I'm a major movie buff. I like to, across the board really, but I like to focus on horror movies, especially 80s horror movies, because they were the best ones.
Yeah, they are pretty cheesy, aren't they?
That's their appeal as well.
Which is probably why I like Tucker and Dale versus Evil so much, because it's like, it's a complete send up of those movies.
Yeah, yeah, anything that is a send up while simultaneously being sort of a homage, a love letter almost. It's getting the right sweet spot there for me as well.
Let alone the fact that I have cousins that are identical to Tucker and Dale in every way. But it's not quite as much fiction as it is for other people when I see that movie.
See something of somebody in there. That's good.
So what, do you like do a lot of Netflix, or are there series or things out there that you're really excited about consuming right now?
Oh, well, no more so than anybody else. I mean, I'm a huge Stranger Things fan. That's my sort of milieu, 80s, creepy 80s. I understand that this new series is going to tap into a lot of John Carpenter-type vibes, which is right up my street. I love John Carpenter.
So, great stuff, isn't it?
Big fan of that, yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I missed the boat on Game of Thrones. I know everybody's getting excited about that, but that's not something that's...
I just don't get it. I actually watched about half of the first season. I read the first two books, and I was like, I made myself read the second book. I really wasn't into it, but I'm like, everybody's talking about it. I must be missing something. That's the thing about writing and books. I mean, you don't have to appeal to everybody out there, and you don't have to like every book. There are plenty of other books out there to read.
Exactly, and I think it's important, like what you said earlier, that you write for you, which is, and that's really important, because that's how you know you're going to get good content, but also that's how you keep happy doing it. And then that's what I do as well. I write what I want to read. I write what I think would make me happy, and hopefully along the line a lot of other people pick it up, and they get enjoyment out of it as well.
So at the time we're recording this, there's a movie coming out that everybody is talking about. I'm sure you can guess what I'm discussing here. Are you going to go see Endgame?
Therein lies a tale with this one. I have my ticket, and I had my ticket up until about a week ago. I am going to be over in New Jersey for the next month. So I am going to be frantically running to the nearest theater and picking up a ticket as soon as I get there, because I am an enormous Marvel fan.
Yeah, me too. And I'm torturing my children, because we're actually going on a family vacation when my youngest daughter finishes her college finals for the semester. And I told them it's like the second week of May. And I said, all right, look, you know what? We're going to be in Florida. Let's hold off for 2 weeks and not see Endgame, and we'll all go together. Well, you would have thought I'd like threatened to cut off an appendage.
That's very brave.
But, I'm the dad and I made it stick. So, but I'll tell you, I know the story over here, at least, is that like at least the first weekend is completely sold out in most places.
Yeah, I've done a bit of digging. I understand that there's a theater close to where I'm going to be staying that still has tickets. So hopefully they will still have tickets when I get there, because I'm going to be very upset if I can't see it every weekend.
Well, and you're by yourself, so a solo ticket might be available.
Hopefully so, yeah. Although I have heard stories about movie theaters in the States. I don't know if over here in the UK, if it's very silent, or it should be very silent, because people want to hear it and get immersed. And I understand that it's a very much an audience participation sport over there.
It really can be, I have to say. There's when the bad guy gets smacked down, there's a whole lot of clapping and cheering going on. I remember when Loki got smacked down by the Hulk, it was, you know, there was pandemonium in the theater I was in.
I could get down to that. I'm down for that. Yeah, I could get on board with that. I tend, when I watch them over again on the, you know, on my TV at home, I tend to get quite involved. So I could make the transition to movies. Yeah,
We'd love to have you. I'll tell you. Just, you know, out of curiosity, what do you think it is about the Marvel universe and the stories that are created there that have made them so wildly popular? Because we are storytellers, and if we can, you know, if we can tap into that juice, that magic, maybe we can create a small thing of our own that has the same kind of pull for readers.
Yeah. I think it's a combination of things. They've taken the time to flesh out the worlds that they're describing. They've taken the time to really, really effectively and accurately portray the characters that they're putting on the screen there. Because obviously, don't forget, these characters have been around for, you know, decades now. I grew up with a lot of these characters, so, you know, there's a lot of people out there who really need these to be faithful recreations. And I think they've done that really well. I just think that they've done their fans are really, they've done them a service. You know, they've not shortchanged us at any point, touch wood, so far. They know their craft. They've obviously researched. They know the comics. I like to sort of liken it to DC. Not a huge fan of DC, and I think that they've rushed it. I think they've made too many changes. They're sort of the antithesis of what Marvel have done in that regard.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. The only DC movie I like is Wonder Woman, and I think it's because it kind of broke the mold.
Do you know, I haven't seen it. As I say, I'm not as frantic to watch DC movies. I was kind of put off by a lot of the later Dark Knight films, which I could wax lyrical about for hours on end about how awful they are, but I won't. No, I hear it is very good, actually. Yeah, so I should probably catch that.
Well, you know, if only to like give it its due, because I think it rightly deserves to be called at least among the best, if not the best, DC comic movie ever. Because, and at least in my estimation, I'm sure somebody out there will disagree. And hey, I'm at Podmedic on Twitter, so let me know. Light me up if you want to. I don't care.
Well, I mean, this new one that's coming out next month, Shazam, is very promising, and it's getting good reviews. So maybe there'll be a pretender to the throne in that, for that title.
Definitely. Well, you know, I'd love to talk more about movies and stories with you, but we're kind of getting down near to the end. When you reach out to readers, is there a place? Do you like to do that online? Have you ever contacted people in person, like at a convention or something?
Oh, sadly, we don't get too many really good conventions over in England, so it is largely social media. But that's great. I mean, that's fine. I've spoken to a lot of people online on Facebook, even on Twitter. So that's as an effective medium as ever. I'm a very public person on Facebook. Yeah, anyone can find me if they dig deep enough. So it's always nice to hear from people as well.
It really is. And I, you know, I'm sure you get it too. People are kind of surprised when an author that they reach out to answers them.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's, but there's no reason to think that, you know, where, I don't know if it's the same for you, but I know other authors who I'm kind of in awe of, you know, and maybe think the same thing, but you know, everybody's at the same point, aren't they? So there should be no reason why people can't, you know, sort of drop a hello or a wave or whatever.
Oh, definitely. And I'm trying to think. I mean, I've interviewed Robin Hobb on this podcast. I interviewed Lee Medesit on this podcast. And, you know, it's like I was fan guy the whole time, trying to like rein it in, you know, both hands just clenched. Yeah, no. Like, don't go over the top. Keep it cool.
Like I say, there's no reason not to reach out. That's what social media is for at the end of the day. And you know, everybody's there to wave back. I certainly am anyway.
Well, why don't you tell folks where they can find you so they can reach out to you and find out what you're thinking about as you write book 3 in this series?
Well, as I say, I'm on Facebook under my name. I don't run under a pseudonym or anything like that. That's just me. There is a Wink Trilogy Facebook page as well. So that's something that is due to be updated very soon when I hopefully get this third book finished, and then more details will be forthcoming on that.
Excellent. Well, I'll have links to all of that in the show notes so that people can just click right through and find you. And James, it's been fantastic having you on the show. I'll tell you what, when you get book three finished and you're ready to talk about it and tell us a little bit about the process, and maybe we can talk a little bit about what we thought of Endgame, come back on the show.
Oh, I'd love to. And thank you again for having me. It's been real fun.
And that's going to wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Make sure you catch up with us for a whole lot more over at our Fantasy Focus community group over on Facebook or on our Fantasy Focus website at fantasy-focus.com. Leave a comment on this episode and let me know what's on your mind. Also, you can also subscribe to the episodes over on the podcast pages. I've talked about those links in other episodes, but the links are right there below the player at the top of the episode page. You'll find links for whatever your mobile device is, iOS or Android, and you can even subscribe by email if you want. But make sure you do that because you don't want to miss any of the upcoming episodes, including our next episode, which I'm super excited about because we have Dawn Chapman coming on the podcast, and I'm excited for that. That's it for this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis, author of Fun Fantasy Reads. Don't forget to follow me over on Facebook at Jamie Davis Books and at my website, jamiedavisbooks.com, where you can get a free book if you sign up for my newsletter while you're there. Whatever you do, though, subscribe. Come back here for the next podcast. And in the meantime, don't forget, people, keep your eyes open because there's magic all around you.